Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. It's the last day of the fiscal year, the final day of June, and it is the midway point in the year. Rose, did you feel the earthquake? No, you did not. 10 o'clock on Saturday evening, the quake centered over, well, kind of close to Silver City over on the New Mexico-Arizona border, 5.2 on the Richter scale. But boy, Facebook just lit up with people saying, did we just have an earthquake? Yeah, we were feeling the after effects of it. But folks, it's not like the big one that actually did hit here, May 6, 1887, which was, according to the scientists, a one in 1,000 year event. But there was property damage, and granted, there wasn't much population in Tucson at the time. Luckily, nobody hurt, but part of the Santa Vera Mission was damaged. So hopefully, we've had our big earthquake and don't have to worry about it for a long time. It's the Monday political face-off. That's how we get things rolling on Monday here on the Buckmaster Show. And then about 12:30, Hank Amos joins us. Hank is CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. His family has had that organization for over 100 years, and so it's always good to hear what Hank has to say about the commercial real estate market. So he will weigh in at the bottom of the hour. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you to weigh in at any time during the hour, 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Our team of commentators this week, Bruce Ash is with us. Bruce is in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Usually Bruce is in studio with me, seated to my right. He is now on the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe he's over in San Diego. Vince Robago is with us, and Vince is longtime Democrat Party activist. He's a former Arizona Attorney General candidate, and he's also chair of the Latino Caucus of the Democrat Party of Pima County. Bruce, how are you today?
Enjoying the show here from the left coast in California. However, I am in comfortable Republican territory in Coronado, California, with a mayor and city council who are all Republicans and a Republican who serves as a member of Congress from this district.
Oh, okay. Vince, how's it going?
Doing very well. Didn't have any indication of the earthquake last night, but I sure saw the same.
Saturday night, about 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
so you had no idea?
No, not until we saw it on the internet.
And none of the pictures were askew in the house?
Not in Midtown Tucson.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I was over visiting with Moe on Saturday. He's so pleased with the Buckmaster Show listeners who are really giving him a lot of support, and he wanted me to thank all of you. Vince and Bruce, let's begin with the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, John Hoopenthal. He made a tearful apology at a news conference up in Phoenix. His blogging and what he was saying in his blogs has really gone worldwide. The European papers, some of the London papers had the story. And Vince, you made some news. I saw the letter that you, representing the Latino Caucus of Pima County, you posted that on Facebook for all of your friends to see, and the media saw that. What were you basically saying? Immediate resignation?
Yes, and full point of disclosure, this is not the first time that I have publicly called for our superintendent of public instruction to step down. If you recall, a couple months back, it was revealed that he was out there shilling for parents to send their kids to private schools. Now, the way I look at this like a businessman would look at this. If you were CEO of McDonald's, and suddenly you went out and did an advertising campaign and said, hey, I want you to go buy burgers over at Burger King, you would be fired by shareholders immediately. And so I started the drumbeat for his resignation some time back. But this recent ongoing and continuing scandal with respect to John Hoopenthal. It's mind-boggling to see that someone would use state computers to blog under false alter egos and say things that essentially a high school student, if they were saying that on a history test, would flunk.
Yeah.
And this is a man who is in charge of setting standards for education, setting a high moral standard for our young people, mm-hmm. and to run our public schools and to improve them. In my view, and I'm not. This is not just the me as a Democrat or here in Pima County. In fact, there last week several former Republican.
Yeah, there was a coalition that had that news conference. Lisa Graham Keegan, a lot of well-known Republicans also involved. Vince, let's see what Bruce Ash thinks should be done with Mr. Hoopenthal. Bruce,
thank you. Bill, and thanks, Vince, for your observation. Of course, there's probably a few people who serve in Republican statewide posts that you would prefer resign as well, Vince, but that aside for a moment, what Superintendent Hall did was not smart, was not in the interest of good public policy, and he will be either returned to his post by the Arizona voters or not, and let's let the Arizona voters make that decision. He's been very clear that he's not going to resign, and I think that his comments and his actions were wrong and ill-advised and not in the best interest of the state of Arizona. We'll leave it at that at the present time. What he did, though, was not a scandal. The IRS is a scandal. Benghazi is a scandal. Snooping on people is a scandal. Inaction in Ukraine, Syria, Egypt, across the world, that's a scandal. This is just something really, really dumb that the guy did, and let's call it what it is. It's not a scandal. The voters will decide if they think Mr. Hoopenthal should be returned to his position in the fall of this year.
Well, I would just have to disagree, and if this is the litmus test for what constitutes a scandal in the Republican Party, and now that explains a lot, because the reality is anytime you have the highest elected official misusing government resources to essentially denigrate a substantial body of the people that he is supposed to serve as his constituents, calling those that receive public benefits lazy pigs, when a substantial number, I don't know if it was 48%, I forget the exact percentage, of Arizona children are receiving public assistance, food stamps, so that they can have some sort of food and have a meal when they go to school in the morning and learn, and so that we can have a better skilled workforce. That is a scandal. You can call it all you want, but the reality is we need to make sure that we put our elected officials' feet to the fire.
You're saying it's the quintessential scandal.
It is. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sex scandal to call it a scandal. The reality is it is. And the fact that he is leading our public schools and making important decisions when he himself is making false assertions about history, for example, under fake names.
Yeah.
What galls me, let me end with this.
You know,
he
Bruce
cried.
Back in here.
Sure, Bruce. Well, let's go ahead and let Bruce say something.
And I will say, Bruce, that the Arizona Republic editorialized, and they do agree with you, not on the scandal the comments about a scandal, but they do agree that the voters should be left to decide this in the primary. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Vince would like to make this a sideshow about stepping down, but that's not going to happen. The voters will have a chance. They always do speak. There's a great Republican candidate vying for the same position. You talked about Superintendent Hoopenthal needing to represent all the people in Arizona and protecting them. I would say that the President of the United States should be held to the same standards that you seem to think are so important for the State Superintendent of Public Education here in Arizona, but that you ignore at almost every turn of your head, as we have one problem after another that is either being caused by the President's incompetence, Vince, or his disregard for the law.
Well, I love Bruce. I love the way you want to keep changing the subject. You don't want to talk about what they've done. You know, I think what's a real shame is that all of the GOP gubernatorial hopefuls have not renounced his Huppenthal's comments. They they've said they don't want to pile on. They have not come out and made strong statements. I've got to give great respect and due respect to former Republican superintendents of public instruction, both the former elected officials, Lisa Graham Keegan and Jaime Molera, for having the guts to come out. That's what elected officials should do. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I would be making the same exact calls. And those Republican, Doug Ducey, Christine Jones, Ken Bennett, they ought to come out and expressly renounce these sort of comments that Huppenthal's made. But they won't. And I think why they won't is exactly the sort of attitude that you're going to see. You're seeing right here. From their national committeeman, Bruce Ash. He wants to make it about the Benghazi scandal, other things that have been proven time and time again to essentially be much fury without any real substance.
Bruce, let me. You alluded to the fact there is a very good candidate, I think you said good candidate, in Diane Douglas, who is a Republican running against Huppenthal. That's really going to come, and who, by the way, is scheduled to be on the show, Diane Douglas, within the next 2 weeks. Her big issue, Bruce, is doing away with Common Core. So this could turn out to be a referendum in the primary on Common Core, right?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about this election, and maybe this is actually something Vince and I can agree upon here this afternoon, is that education is going to be a key focus in this year's election, both in school board elections as well as in this state superintendent of public education position. Diane Douglas is a very interesting candidate. She is a policy wonk. She is against Common Core, and she has... clean elections money. She's in a very good position, both in the Republican primary as well as in the general election, to perhaps win both of them. And I think that when compared with her potential Democrat candidates, I think she sizes up very, very well, matches up real, real good to win this election. And I think that in the end of this election, we're going to have probably a Republican policy wonk, somebody who is going to work within the lines to make sure that we continue to move the ball ahead for our kids and making sure that parents and children are getting the best opportunities for success here in Arizona.
Vince, we got to take a break, but do you agree with Bruce about education being a big issue?
What I agree with is that someone else is going to win, and that's going to be David Garcia.
Okay.
And the last point I'd say, that's the Democratic candidate.
He's
a veteran. He's a veteran. He's a professor at ASU. And the last thing I'd say is that he compares the other candidate as a policy wonk. That's what Huppenthal, or should I say Falcon 9, or Thucydides, his alter ego, because that's what he calls himself. We'll get more of the same if you elect a Republican to that seat.
Bruce, don't go away. Hang on the line there from the San Diego area.
I wouldn't hang up on Vince, don't worry.
No, okay, thank you very much. We're going to take a break right here. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce and Vince will stick around, and they're always willing to hear from you folks. 790-2040 is our live line number. Let's take a break, Rose, and we'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show. Vince Robigo is with us, and Bruce Ash is with us by phone. He's on the live line from nice, cool San Diego, while we're having probably what will turn out to be the hottest week of the year. But hopefully, it will be that kind of monsoon turnaround, as they call it in India. That's the week before the rains come. It's very uncomfortable, but eventually we'll get some relief. At least that's what I hope for. Bruce, what do you think about these plans to make some permanent facilities here in at TUSD, some vacant buildings, to house Central American immigrants, young immigrants here in Tucson?
Well, gee, Bill, I'm not sure. Perhaps Vince could explain it to us, because I heard the president clearly state on the news yesterday that they were going to be sending these youngsters back because they're not here legally. So I don't know why we would be transforming and repurposing schools, which are going to take millions and millions of dollars to do, and housing people there or educating them there, if the idea is that once they're processed, they're going to be sent back to their country of origin. These kids came here because they received bad information from the President of the United States, confirmed by the agency head for the Department of Homeland Security. Now, thankfully, they're recanting on their stories, and I don't know why this would even be required. Do you?
Well, let's ask Vince Robigo. And first, before you respond, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Moe's on Facebook, and of course, they are at moesgallery.com. Vince, please respond to Bruce Ash about this issue.
Well, first and foremost, here we go again, trying to cast blame and politicize the issue in a false
You're
way.
You're in the sixth year of a very failed presidency.
Here you go. I guess you can't want to hear the facts. Go ahead and talk.
What was that? What was that?
Bruce wants to not let me talk. So go ahead, Bruce.
You're going to be hearing this a lot from Vince over the next several months as we go into the midterms.
Talking over people and not letting them express their views.
Presidency.
Talking over people and not letting them say their side of the story.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Okay.
That's your style, Bruce.
No, all right. Well, it's Vince's turn right now. Go ahead, Vince.
No, Bruce, do you want to say something else? Go right ahead. I want to have a clear floor so you don't have to keep trying to interrupt people and not let other people hear the other side of the story.
And Bruce, what did you?
They've been hearing your side, Vince.
Okay,
they're not buying it.
Not on this show. They have, and not with the way you'd like to handle things, Bruce.
All right. Well,
so let me say this. First and foremost, the fact is this: in 2002, and again in 2008, the Bush administration, out of humanitarian reasons, and it's something I agree with. This was a unanimous vote in Congress. They made sure that children refugees coming from Latin American countries, not from our border state of Mexico, but from Latin American countries that have suffered through war, through religious and gang persecution, criminal persecution as a result of the destabilization of those countries, they enacted a law that said children coming from those places will be held for 72 hours and then turned over to a refugee program where they can determine whether or not these children have a valid claim of asylum.
Asylum.
So the reality is these numbers have been going up. They've doubled over the last fiscal year, but they've started going up since 2011. Long before this issue that the Republicans are trying to say, oh, this was all about the DREAM Act and you've tricked them into coming. But the reality is the process itself, what happens is when these children then get sent over to these refugee camps, has been going on for years now, they would then have the opportunity to go to court to make an asylum claim. Now, that is not true of our neighbors to the south in Mexico for the vast majority, and that is why they were excluded from the law. So what is happening now is that the numbers have finally reached a humanitarian crisis point with these children coming here.
Okay.
And so children, the reality is they if they do not meet these standards, what the president is proposing is that officers in the field, that the law be changed, number one. He's saying that the law should be changed so that there should be an interview process by which the officers there then get to determine whether or not these folks get to go seek asylum.
Bruce, before you answer, Zach has been waiting on the live line to join the conversation. Go ahead, Zach. We're just about out of time.
Yes, Mr. Ravigo, how does it make sense for the President of the United States to ask for $2 billion worth of funds for these immigrant children when, let's be honest, this country is slowly crumbling. Our roads are in decay here locally. Our schools nationally aren't performing. We're going to borrow more money from China so we can bring in more individuals. While they may need help and they need refuge, I understand that. How does it make sense for us to take this on?
How does what make sense? I'm not sure exactly what. Take what on exactly? What are you saying?
The president has requested $2 billion, correct, to help these children coming
to expedite
country.
The process.
So right,
you're
okay,
actually.
So and where are we going to get that money, Mr. Ravigo?
Happy to answer the question. Or should I go forward?
Well,
I mean, the reality is the question is do you want to deport these children? Is that what you want? That's what this is all about. The president is talking about processing and deporting them.
Okay.
You're
going to
see a tremendous backlash, actually, from immigrant supporters, humanitarians, people that want to protect children that are actually cringing because what President Obama is suggesting, that the only sort of immigration reform that goes forward is to deport these children without any real inquiry into what's going on.
Okay, now, Bruce, you're up to the plate.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. The president said yesterday that these children are going to be processed and in most cases sent back because they have not come here under a legal pretense. Earlier today, speaking to your point about the law, Vince, Senator Schumer from New York State stated very, very clearly that the president did not have the power to ask for these additional funds, nor did he have the ability to expedite processing, but that he would, as he said, borrow power in order to do it. And I would just suggest to you that this is the latest in what has been a very, very conspicuous pattern of lawlessness and recklessness exhibited by the President of the United States.
Okay, now here's where we go again with the spin doctrine. The President, at the same time he has made the request, in order to expedite things while Congress is not in session over the 4th of July recess, has at the same time specifically in conjunction with this request asked Congress to change the law that was unanimously enacted in 2008 and back in 2002, excuse me, and then again amended in 2008 under George Bush. And it's a law I agree with because you're dealing with children. That we're not talking about individuals that are coming
who've
here
come
to break
here
the law,
pretense.
Coming to see, there you go again. These children haven't been even processed or interviewed, Bruce, and that's the whole idea, is to get the funds to determine who has lawful claims of asylum and who doesn't. So, you know, you repeating that falsehood doesn't make it true, Bruce. That's the whole point of this. And because of the emergency that's going on, the President has asked for these additional funds to do this.
Go ahead, Bruce. We didn't hear that.
We allow 1 million immigrants to come to this country legally every year. There is no country in the history of our planet who has ever been as open and as generous with citizenship and with welcoming people to their shores than the United States. The youngsters who have come here have, A, come under false pretenses, and, B, they've come here illegally.
There you go. That's the GOP for you. Let's round up those children. We don't know where their families are. Put them on a plane, according to Bruce Ash and the GOP. Drop them off. Send them to some country where they've been, are going to be sex slaves, killed. They may not even have parents there. And that's exactly – no, Bruce, Bruce, you've said your point. Okay, there you go. You know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to participate on your show anymore, Bill, if Bruce – if you don't rein in Bruce from letting somebody –
Bruce, we can't hear you.
Or from Afghanistan.
We were speaking when Vince was speaking, and we couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm simply asking the question: why, if the President has this humanitarian angle to this problem, why he isn't also asking children from Nigeria and from Egypt and from Syria,
Bruce,
and from Afghanistan,
Bruce,
from Burma,
Bruce,
from all kinds of countries where there has been legitimate turmoil and tumult in their government.
Oh, so the wars in El Salvador and Honduras and the other places, that's not legitimate? So what's when it's Latin Americans or Hispanic-based countries, those sorts of wars are not legitimate in the Republicans' eyes?
Okay,
that's
guys.
What the GOP believes.
Guys, we got to go. Sorry, we're a bit over, and
perhaps the next time Vince will act
Bruce, I hope you have a good day. And Vince, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Check out Moe's for all of your family. Well, they're family-owned and run since 1985. Check them out for all of your framing needs. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:36 on this Monday afternoon, 4th of July week. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, we have Hank Amos. Hank is the CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, and Hank put out his mid-year, kind of end of fiscal year, the middle of the calendar year forecast and summary of commercial real estate, and Hank joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Hank, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
You're back east, I hear.
I am back east, trying to bring some business to Tucson.
Okay. I hope it's cooler back there than it is here today anyway. And you missed the big earthquake everybody's talking about.
I heard about it. Well, the humidity is supposed to hit here today or tomorrow, so hadn't hit yet, but I hear it's coming.
Hank, what was your summary? How are we doing at this mid-year point, end of fiscal year, as far as commercial real estate?
Well, as you know, we kind of take our temperature at the middle of the year to kind of see where we are in our forecast and what the rest of the year is going to look like, and it's pretty much going along like we said it was going to be. And I kind of tell people it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back, but we're just not rocking and rolling. The commercial market's still pretty slow. I mean, it's better than it was 4 years ago, but 4 years ago was, you know, a death's door. And now any little bit of improvement looks, you know, much better than it was. But if this was any other year, let's say we were in the 80s or 90s and kind of going through what we're going through right now, people would say it's very, very slow. So it's still a slow market, but better than it was.
So we're kind of limping along. Is that characterization accurate?
Yeah, we're limping along, and it's mainly due to a couple of reasons. One is, you know, the home building industry, right? We're not building lots of homes right now. And so all those trades and those jobs, you know, it's just not happening. And then we don't have any business vitality or business velocity. So we don't have a lot of companies coming in, high-paying jobs or any activity. And so that all creates, you know, more need for more space and lease space, whether it's industrial or whatever, and it's just not happening. So we're just kind of limping along. But the bright spot's been retail, and so what we've seen is all those big boxes that were vacant a couple years ago are all now full. We've seen three, you know, big shopping centers that we have, Elkon, the Spectrum, George Larson's at Craig Crofton River sell. So there's $100 million worth of sales in the past year, and that's happening. But that's more of a national perspective because there's lots of REITs with money, and they're looking for quality shopping centers to invest in. But the retail's been doing well, but everybody else is just, it's just not doing very well. I mean, look at office. Office, the vacancy rate's 18%, and the rates, the lease rates, are what you can get back in the 80s. I mean, and here we are, 2014, the lease rates are the same rates that they were in the 80s. So that's just kind of gives you a feeling of where we are commercially in Tucson.
Well, the office market, as you say, vacancy rate was 18%, and at your end of year program, first of year predictions, it was also 18%. So we've seen no improvement in that mark. What's the problem? Why so many vacant offices?
Well, it's the same thing. When you have a growing economy, then you have, you know, the ancillary, or the services. So the office needs, the insurance guys, all these little businesses that come into Tucson, you know, to take that. And if you have, you know, big companies coming in, let's say we had another Raytheon, or let's say Tesla came. So there's going to be companies that are going to service Tesla and do work with Tesla, then they would take extra office space. So we have no really growth in our economics. And that's why I say there's no business vitality or velocity. And when you lack that, you really have no growth, you know, in your businesses, so you're not leasing extra space and all. And the other thing that we're seeing is we've actually seen people in order, businesses, small businesses, in order to survive, are downsizing. So when their leases are coming up, they're trying to take less space. And because of the Affordable Care Act, a lot of these guys are trying to knock their employees down below 50. So if you have 65 or 60 employees, you're knocking your employees down so you get grandfathered and you don't get hit with that. And so you see people going downwards. And so space is instead of getting more space, people are downsizing.
Hank
Amos.
You
downsize too when times are tough. You tighten your belts up.
Hank Amos is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Hank would be happy to hear from you, take your questions or comments. If you have any questions about real estate, the economy, let's hear from you. 790-2040. Thank goodness that there's been some office medical activity, Hank Amos.
Yes, you know, that's been the bright spot. So what you're seeing is you are seeing an increase in medical. And what's happening, our doctors are kind of breaking away from their own practice, maybe starting their own. You're seeing some office buildings being converted into medical. You're seeing these urgent care and surgery centers kind of pop up all over town. So former bank branches, video stores, convenient markets, they're all become these urgent care centers, and you've kind of seen them. And the same thing with some of these dentist centers and stuff like that. So that's been a bright spot. But again, with the Affordable Care Act, some of these doctors, their insurance is going up so much, and what they get from Medicare and Medicaid, as far on a per surgery or per visit, it's getting reduced. So some of these doctors are actually starting to leave their practice and go work for a hospital. So we're starting to see that happen, and that more of that may happen because it may be unaffordable for doctors to continue to practice on their own.
Let me ask you a quick question about Elkon. Elkon sold. So what are the new? Who are the new owners, and what are the plans for the Elkon Mall?
Well, the new owners were related to the gentleman, I believe, who owns the St. Louis Rams. I wasn't involved in that transaction. Mm-hmm. But they bought it mainly as, you know, it's a great center. I think the Kibbles did a good job of they went through a tough period there, and they revitalized it and got rid of some of the smaller users, tenants in there, put some of the bigger boxes in, like Target, and really repositioned that center. It's a great center, and it sold, you know, at a fair price for both parties. So going forward, you know, they might put another big box in there to kind of, you know, fill it up because you got a lot of extra parking. So it's overparked is what they say. And so I could see some development on some of that parking structure, you know, parking space out there to kind of facilitate the Senator a little bit.
All right. Hank Amos with us. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Kay, you are with Hank Amos. Go ahead with your question or comment.
I was wondering about growth and development out in the Southwest heading towards Three Points.
Out in Three Points, okay, toward on the southwest side. Go ahead, Hank Amos.
Well, I think what happened, obviously with the casinos, that's generated some growth out there. But, you know, growth overall as far as the outside of Tucson a little bit has kind of slowed down there. When home prices really went up, then you saw builders kind of moving outside of Tucson. So they're kind of moving out there towards Star Valley, or they're moving out towards Benson, and it was called drive to qualify. So they can build a cheaper home because the land was less expensive out there, and they can build a cheaper home for the first-time home buyers or people who wanted to buy a home. They need a smaller price point, entry point. They built it out in these areas, so it's drive to qualify. But because there just hasn't been a lot of jobs and growth, it's kind of come to a standstill here. I don't see any really new development kind of going out in that direction until there's a boom in our economy again and they have to start building. So for right now, I don't see that. You might see some retail activity or something like that kind of out near the casinos, but I don't really see that home building market picking up out there until the market in Tucson, the boom kind of picks up here and our economy gets better.
All right, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments about our economy, about land use, the real estate market, Hank Amos is with us. He will stay with us now for the next break, but right now we're going to take a break on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Buckmaster on The Buckmaster Show. It's 12:50 on this Monday afternoon. We're speaking with Hank Amos, CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. And huge out-of-state investors, Hank, have been purchasing over, I understand it's over $100 million of Tucson's finest retail properties so far this year, as these investors are looking across the country for premium properties to invest in. So is this a good thing?
Well, absolutely it's a good thing. You know, what's happened is you got these national REITs, real estate investment trusts, and they have, there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, and they've been trying to raise it. So they have about $19.6 billion to invest. So they're, you know, they're looking all over the country trying to find premium properties to purchase. And you're seeing some of our premium retail centers being sold right now. So they're investing in Tucson. And anytime you get a new infusion of capital into your community, I think that's good. So you'll see some upgrades made to Elkhorn. The Spectrum, you know, is a pretty nice center there, and I-19 there, and they'll probably do some things there. But it's just good to see national money coming into our community, and you know, that's that, and when you sell, that's good for the sellers. I mean, for the Kibble family, for George Larson, for others, you know, that's good, and they can take that money and reinvest it, and maybe buy other buildings or do other development here in our community, because they're both. Both those gentlemen are really staunch Tucson supporters, so they can take that money and reinvest it.
How is the downtown area looking to you, Hank Amos?
You know, I think we talked about that before, mm-hmm. and you know, I'll be honest to tell you that had you asked me 7 or 8 years ago, would you invest in downtown, and looking at what downtown was and having, you know, been here all my life, I would say no. I mean, it was just not doing very well. But, you know, some individuals that, you know, kind of saw something there and they invested their own money and they created a little hotbed of activity. And downtown is a bright spot for our community. I mean, it's just on fire right now. And I think there is like 60 restaurants downtown now, 53 retail stores. There's two markets that made announcements that they're going down there. There's 18 nightclubs. I mean, it's the place to be when if you want to go out for dinner or you want to go out and have a good time and maybe go have a drink. Everybody now heads down to downtown. We had a client, Hi-Fi Kitchen and Cocktails out of Scottsdale, and you know, I've been trying to get these guys down to Tucson for 15-20 years and they just wouldn't come. But when downtown just got on fire, they wanted to be down there. You have Pizzeria Bianco, and I don't think a lot of people realize just how great a pizza place this is. It's one of the, some food magazine says some of the best pizza in the United States, and he's opening a location downtown in Tucson. So, you know, it's just downtown's on fire. It has its own energy. You have the light rail that's going to be opening up, you know, down there, and the trolley, I should say, and that's going to create more energy, make it more easily accessible to get down. And they've added parking garages, and also it's on fire. And hopefully, that enthusiasm and that wave can maybe spread out into the rest of our community, because that's definitely a bright spot for our community.
Oro Valley and Marana, are those other bright spots, Hank?
They are on the residential side, on the home building side. So we've seen maybe two-thirds of our sales in that northwest area, and that's where it's happening. We've seen home prices go up almost, I would say, 15-20% a little bit, because there is a demand up there to be up there. So from a residential perspective, that's doing well. And, you know, Marana's just has a really great pro-growth attitude. And one of those places where, you know, if you want to build something, less red tape, easier to get things done, the mayor and the city council there has just really opened their arms up. We're starting to see some people that are in Tucson want to maybe relocate there because just easier to do business. And Marantz has this pro-growth attitude. All Valley's on fire. You know, they're doing very well. So those are areas in our community that are very strong right now.
And when you compare the way we're doing to Phoenix, how would you characterize it? I know you're always on top of that comparison.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Phoenix, it was interesting. You know, back in the 80s and the early 90s, you know, we were both on parallel tracks. I mean, Phoenix was about maybe three times the size of Tucson and three times the GDP and all that stuff. And we were... We were smaller and they were bigger, but we were both on parallel tracks, really growing. And Phoenix, you know, what happened was we just kind of got into this no growth mode here in our community. We elected a city council that was kind of no growth, and we did a right turn and started going backwards. And Phoenix just kind of kept going, and we're not even on the same page with those guys anymore. I mean, they maybe are 6, 7, 8, 10 times, you know, in velocity than what we do down here. And there used to be this friendly, you know, competition between the two cities. They don't even consider us competition. They have more competition now between, you know, Chandler and Mesa and Gilbert than they really do with Tucson. And so...
So Hank, was there a defining moment that you could turn to? You said we were on parallel tracks in the 80s, and then the early 90s, things kind of went south for us. What happened? Was there a defining moment?
Well, I think it was a combination of events. You know, we had the crack, you know, in 86, they changed the tax laws, right? And so that created, a crash. Our first kind of depression that we had, a recession really since the depression, and that was a major. That was called the RTC days. It's Resolution Trust Corporation, and those RTC days, you know, real estate just took a pounding, and that happened, you know, like in 87, and that recovery didn't take place until about 92, and it really affected our community, and we, to this day, I don't think we've really come out of it. We lost a lot of our talent, moved to Phoenix and elsewhere, and it had a big impact. And about that time too, we had a new mayor that came in, and a Democratic council that was just not really pro growth. And you know, we said no to some pretty good firms that wanted to come here, Intel, Motorola, and all. And we had another division of IBM that wanted to come to Tucson, and they saw the politics being played, and they just said, you know, we don't want to be here. So we could have definitely gone a different route, and I don't think we would be suffering today, because we would have had bigger employment base with a little bit more diversity. You know, now our employment base is basically based upon Raytheon, who, you know, that hopefully they won't leave. Davis-Monthan, which could be on the chopping block, which would be a major, you know, that's one of the things, too, that's affecting our commercial market and really our overall market is, you know, what's going to happen to Davis-Monthan? Because if Davis-Monthan leaves, you know, it's going to have a huge, huge, huge impact that, you know, we may never recover from. So you have that kind of going on, and relying upon government. And that just not enough pillars there to kind of support our community. We need more diversity. We need more depth. And I think that's, so when you look back and say, you know, what happened, I think it was the RTC days and our city council and the board of supervisors too, that just took a different perspective on things, and Tucson just went a different direction. Okay. I mean, I have friends of mine that are national players, and they would just say, you know, you guys were on the radar screen, and you're not even on the radar screen anymore. So, you know, we're trying real hard. I think Mayor Rothschild's doing his best. I like, you know, Chuck Huckleberry, he's really gotten behind that Tesla and doing what they can do there to attract them. Okay. And so there's some things here, but, you know, we should have been singing a different song back in the late 80s.
Thank you very much, Hank. Always a pleasure spending some time with you. Thanks a lot. Have a safe trip back to Tucson.
You got it. Thank you. Take care, and happy 4th of July.
Same to you. Hank Amos, Tucson Realty and Trust. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're preparing for the big Clay Festival. In fact, tomorrow we will have the organizer of the Clay Festival with us over here in Tucson to talk about their big signature event of Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson, and a lot cooler, folks. So check out Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water Pure and Simple. Thank you, Culligan, supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and then For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw this afternoon. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.